As you're being seated this morning, I want to invite all of our kids to come forward here with Miss Michelle in grades 1 through 4, with Miss Michelle and Miss Andrea here. And we're going to go back for some kids' church. And so they're going to go right there with them all. We got everybody? All right. Wonderful. Good. It has been a joy to be able to have Joel and Amy. Did he take off around the backside? Nope, there he is. So don't go around the backside today. Joel, come up here, man. We want to say thanks by giving you a gift. I want you to heed these words. In Colossians 3, it says, it's the Word of God. You got to heed it, all right? It says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And we know you're a songwriter. And I want you to be able to take this journaling Bible, let the words of Christ dwell in you, and if you see the inspiration, the revelation of who God is, you've got a space to begin to pin down some words. And so we wanted to give you this journaling Bible in appreciation for what you've done for us. And we love you, brother. Ah. We're still men, right? No, and that's right. We do. Well, especially around Brad Griffin. He's going to hug you one way or another, so it's good. Take your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Colossians chapter 2. All right, Colossians chapter 2, as we continue through the book of Colossians. And, man, this whole chapter of chapter 2 is just full of Christ, and Paul is doing that for a reason. He's wanting to present us with the fullness of Christ. And this morning, as we close out chapter 2, we're going to see some practical applications of that, of some things that we need to avoid, but also, again, reiterating the main idea of the fullness of Christ. And so today I've entitled the message, Living Full, because as we take this fullness of Christ, there is actions that we need to apply to it and things that we need to do with that. And sometimes we can get a little bit off in how we apply that. And sometimes we can take some things out of order, and sometimes we can take things out of balance to what Jesus Christ is. And even as believers, and even as those that know salvation and know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, sometimes we can get our focus off of the pattern of what we need to in the fullness of Jesus Christ. There is a temptation that comes from Satan himself, and that is to say that Jesus isn't enough. And that temptation is then to, you got to add this to it. He's been doing it since the Garden of Eden. God, has God really said this? And so there is all this that we need to make sure that we have the opportunity to show what God would have for us in the fullness of Jesus Christ and who He is. And so as we look at this passage and we see what's going on, we're going to see some different areas that He wants us. But I want us to think about this question and this idea that Paul's getting across in verses 16 through 23 is what robs us of the fullness of Christ. What robs us of the fullness of Christ? Because in the midst of all that we have going on, in the midst of even of how we try to relate to Jesus Christ, we can get off from what He has done for us. So I want us to look here in Colossians chapter 2, and let's read verses 16 through 23. And the scripture says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to the festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head from which the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, do you submit to regulations? do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to those things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings? These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. So here in this passage, Paul is trying to bring out and bring to the surface some of these teachings and some of these ideas that were being presented to the Colossians and things that were they were trying to teach them that are taking away from the fullness of Christ. And they're taking away from the very being of who Jesus Christ is. And so in this passage, we see some different things. And we could spend a lot of time really in each of these sections, but I want to give you the gist of these three different areas. And these three areas are the fact that legalism lacks, mysticism misses, and asceticism eschews. All right? Now, don't worry. We're going to go through what these means and where this is coming from. But I want you to see the misnomer, the problem with these different ideas in regard to the fullness of Christ. Because these are subtle ways that believers can be taken off track from their walk with the Lord. So starting there in verse 16, he says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. So what is he talking about? He is talking about here when he brings up this idea of food, drink, festivals, new moons, and Sabbath. He's talking about two major areas, diets and days. All right, diets and days. That's an easy way to put it. And what that is referring to, the dietary laws that we see in the Old Testament from the book of Leviticus, how the Jews were to, what they were to eat, what they weren't to supposed to eat, the dietary laws. And then we see the days, the different festivals, the different things that they were to observe. And then you had the festival of booths, you had the festival of trumpets, you had the years of Jubilee, you had all of these different festivals and different rules and regulations that they had there that they were to follow. And then the Sabbath. All these different ideas that they were putting there. And what Paul is saying is, let no one pass judgment on you in questions regard to this. What this is referring to is this idea of legalism. In other words, that these dietary laws, these days, and by observing these to the T, were going to make you holy by what you did. And they were so hammering these Christians and these believers, and a lot of this were the Judaizers, those that were trying to say you have to really convert to Judaism to become a real Christian. And they were trying to push all these laws on these young Christians. And Paul's saying, listen, don't let them pass judgment on you on these ideas. Don't let them force you down a legalistic path to say that you have to do this, 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 and this before you're going to be holy. Now, a lot of times we see this happen in our own life when we allow legalism to pop up and we allow the actions of our lives to take precedent over the relationship to Jesus Christ. We can allow the different things to become the goal instead of Jesus Christ being the goal. And we can get legalistic about these different things. We can get legalistic about our own dietary laws and our own days and our own clothing and different aspects. And we can find ourselves worshiping, doing the object versus doing what God has assigned us in the relationship with Jesus Christ. He's saying legalism lacks. This is when it becomes duty over delight. That you've got to do all these different things and you have to do it all in these different orders. And pretty soon we're sitting there worried about our checklist of Christianity versus the Christ of Christianity. And we miss the picture of what He has for us. This is when we make our actions more than His relationship and we are trusting in our actions and our works more than we're trusting in Jesus Christ. It is very easy to allow these actions and these things and these duties to get in the way and to make us miss the big picture of Jesus Christ. It's going to rob us of the fullness of Jesus Christ. You see, the diets that brought out purity. When you look at the Old Testament, you look at the dietary laws and what they were to eat and what they weren't. God was working through the nation of Israel to create a nation set aside for His purposes. And he created these dietary laws, you know, the hoof feet and all these different types of things to show a sense of purity. He wanted them to have a sense of purity, even in their dietary laws. You see how Daniel, even himself, said, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. Because he knew he was set aside for this. And so the dietary laws, they regard purity. The days in these festivals and these different aspects were opportunities for them to worship different works of God. And so they would, when they allowed these things to overtake, what Paul shows us here in verse 17 is they were missing the substance. When those duties became the effect of their Christianity, notice verse 17, these are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. You see, the laws of the Old Testament and those dietary laws and that holiness and that purity, those days, those works of God, the Passover feast, all of that, the duty was not to be worshipped, it was the fact that it is all pointing to who Jesus Christ is. It was a shadow of the things to come. It was not the real thing. The real thing is Jesus Christ. You know, growing up, me and my brothers, or really my oldest brother, which today is his birthday, and he's even much more older than me today. I hope he doesn't listen to my sermons. He was gone, so me and my middle brother, Lee, who was my youth pastor and different things, we would get outside the church on Sunday nights. And on one side of the church, it was a cinder block church. It was painted white, and on the side of it, the street lights would hit just right, and we would shadow box. Did y'all ever do that as kids, or am I the only weird one? All right, you know, we would shadow box, and so he would stand in one place, and I'd stand in one place, and we would, you know, act like we were boxing against a shadow. You know, and it was really fun. You know, you connect, and you know, make it, and you jerk your shadow back, and you know what? It was fake. It might have looked cool on the wall there, but it wasn't the real thing. Now, it didn't stop us from having the real thing every now and then. But it was just a fake. It was just pretend. You know, and when you look at it, when we allow the duties to become our worship, we are only seeing the shadow instead of the substance. And we're only getting just a pretend aspect of the fullness of Christ. Paul's saying, don't let legalism take away from you. Legalism, it lacks. But then he says this, mysticism misses. Look at verse 18. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. And so he brings up this idea of mysticism. And what mysticism does is it creates this hyper and super spirituality. So much so that we've got to go deeper. And we've got to add more. And we've got to do something else. And so what were they doing? They were adding some different aspects of asceticism, which we'll talk in a minute. The worship of angels. One of the ideas of the Gnostics was that you couldn't approach God in all his holiness, so you had to start to approach him through angels. And you built up through worshiping angels and doing these different things. And so they were trying to teach them you need to worship these angels and pray through these angels and these different things. No, the scripture tells us there's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. That's the only one we have to work through. And then notice that one phrase, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. What they're saying is that these people were creating this super spiritual elitism to say, hey, I have received a vision of the Lord. Today we hear it like, well, you know, the Lord told me to do this. You know what I find interesting about those statements? Is usually the ones that are making those statements have failed to realize and obey what the Lord told them to do right here. And then they expect, well, you know, I'm gonna get a special message from the Lord. Hey, you've already got a special message for the Lord. Why don't we start here with obeying this? And he's saying, listen, they are coming at you with these special visions. Well, you know, this just came to me. And I got this special vision of the Lord. And the Lord told me to do this. And he told me to ask you for this, is what we hear a lot of times. Paul is saying, listen, this mysticism, it misses because it's puffed up with reason beyond Christ, but by this sensuous mind. It's this idea of spiritual elitism. It's a trust in experience over a trust in Jesus Christ. You know what, folks? We can easily fall into this trap too when we try to trust in our own experience over trusting in the revealed Word of God. When we try to trust in our own knowledge and our own understanding, listen, we can be deceived. We can get off in wrong paths, but we have something that keeps us right and keeps us directed towards the cross, and that is the Word of God. And Paul's saying, listen, mysticism, it misses. It'll get off. And when we think that there is some spiritual greater thing that we need to have, and we trust in our experiences over what He has revealed to us about Jesus Christ, here we are going to miss the mark. But then not only that, he talks about this next group, asceticism. Look at verse 20. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to the things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. So what we see here is this fact that asceticism eschews the picture of Jesus Christ. Now, what is asceticism? What is this word? The word asceticism, it comes from, it's originally coming from a Greek word that means to exercise or to train. And the word asceticism deals with the fact that we are training ourselves and we are exercising ourselves to self-deny different aspects. When you think asceticism, think the monks. Think those that deny themselves these different aspects, whether it be food and drink and all of these things, and set aside the vow of poverty, all these types of things that creates a self-denial. In fact, in the early patristic area in that time, this went even as far as the relationship in marriage. The ascetic idea was, it elevated the idea of virginity even over that of God's design in marriage. And so they created this super spirituality that virginity was so much more, and there was a hierarchy there, that it was so much more spiritual than that even of marriage, to the point it created a teaching opposite of what we see in Scripture. And so this idea of asceticism and this self-denial, what it's really doing is a trust in self. It's saying, I can get myself right when I deny myself these different things. Now, I haven't practiced that a whole lot. If you just look at my physical frame, it's not something that I do. But there are those that are trying to reach their own spirituality by trusting in their self and trying to deny themselves these different things. And what does Paul go on to say there? In verse 23, he said, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting a self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. You know what he says? It's going to fall short. It's not going to reach the goal. This continues to feed the flesh even through starving it, because it is allowing it to be a trust in the self versus a trust in the satisfaction of Jesus Christ. And being truly satisfied in a relationship with Him. I mean, you read through the book of Acts and you see how God presented to Peter and said, Peter, listen, all things I have called good. And three times he had to show Peter this in a vision. And Peter said, listen, Lord, you know I've fallen the laws. You know that I have kept myself holy. And the Lord says, no, I've reserved it. I've made it clean. I've made it okay. And all things are there for you. And there is this Christian liberty that should come about. And what we see happening here with legalism, mysticism, and asceticism is it's all a trust in how we think we should do it versus the fullness of Jesus Christ. So what is the answer? Verse 19. And not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God? You know the answer? Hold fast to the head. Hold fast to the head. Here we see also that word that was used earlier in chapter 2, verse 2, this idea of being knit together, of growing together. Hold fast to the head from whom the whole body is nourished, is knit together. What we must do is continue to keep that direction towards Jesus Christ. There is so much that will rob us and there is so much that will take us away, but we have the opportunity to hold fast to the head. Let Christ be the head. Too many times we don't surrender and we try to do it in our terms and we try to do it our way on our experiences and our beliefs, and then all of a sudden we are missing what the revelation of God has for us and what it is showing us about who Jesus Christ is and about His fullness. We miss that picture. We need to let Christ be the head. It's not a checklist, it's a relationship. And when we do that, we realize that He did the work. Folks, your position in Jesus Christ is secure, not based upon what you do. It's secure based upon the fact of what He did on the cross. And if you have that secure, and if you have that position in Him, regardless of what regulations you try to put, you have a relationship and a duty to honor with that fullness of the Lord. You know what's interesting is, there are companies out there that are now applying this rule of unlimited vacation days. They've taken the cap off vacation days. How many of you would have loved that when, you know, in working and all this? Unlimited vacation days. And you know what they have found? When they take the restriction off vacation days, you know what happens? They use the same amount. They use the same amount. But yet, they're happier. They work harder. And they do more. They see that some of the benefits include the fact that the company begins to see the people personally. To see them individually and to see who they are and to understand. And there is a more of a relationship there. And then it conveys trust. You know what? When we sit there and put regulations and we think and we put these checklists and these different things that we put before God to make ourselves holy before Him, we sometimes miss the fact and the trust that goes in the fact of what He did for us already. Now that doesn't take away, and I want to be clear on this, it doesn't take away the fact that we have disciplines that we do. Things that we do, but understand this, our disciplines are not the goal. The things that we do are not the goal. The things that we do should point us to the head. It should point us to the relationship of Jesus Christ. The fact that we have a daily Bible reading and a daily quiet time, it is not the goal to be able to check that off each and every day to say, I'm a good Christian because I did 7 days of quiet time. No, it should be the fact that, hey, 7 days I got to spend with Jesus Christ. I got to read His Word. I get to learn more about Him. Having a prayer life is not just about, you know what, I'm a good Christian because I spent 4 hours in my prayer closet this week. When you should be rejoicing in, you know what, I talked to the Lord for 4 hours. And there was a communion there. And a joy. You see, duty robs joy. And what it should be is that we have a delight in the Savior. And we hold fast to the Savior. Let Christ be the head. And then notice what else he says there in verse 19. Holding fast to the head from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. He says, join the body. Be a part of the body. And as the body, you hold fast to the head. Again, this is all reiterating some of these things that we saw in verse 2. But when we sit here and we try to do things our way, folks, and this is, it happens here. When people try to make Christianity what they want, and they try to make their walk with the Lord what they want, and they pick and choose what they're involved with, instead of being involved with the body, we got people going all different types of directions instead of being connected to the head. And connecting to Jesus Christ. And when we connect to Jesus Christ and we see the fullness of who He is, we can come together as that body and realize it's not about who we are individually, it's about who we are collectively before Jesus Christ. That we have the body that's going on. Join the body, and there we will find that nurturing care that helps our self-protection. When you see people begin to isolate themselves from the body, what they're saying is, I know better, and I can take care of myself. And that's usually a sign that they aren't taking care of themselves. That they're walking away from the Lord instead of being a part of the body. The body is there to help, to bring alongside that nurturing care, to lift one of the whole body nourished and knit together. And he uses these terms, the joints and the ligaments. You know, you think about, you know, your different elbows, your knees, your different joints and the ligaments and all these things. You know, and this sticks out in my mind right now because I've been having trouble in my knee. And you know what? When your ligaments don't work right, it affects your whole body. When it doesn't do the things that it's supposed to do and you got a tear or you got a problem there, you know what? It affects the whole body. And you realize you're not as young as you used to be. But you know what? When you have all of that working together, the body works in a great way. You see that joy and that delight as it's coming together. And then we don't stop growing. When we hold fast to the head, we don't stop growing. It grows with a growth that is from God. It grows with the growth that is from God. Don't stop growing. Too many times it's easy to get complacent. It's easy to get comfortable in what we know about Jesus Christ to say, you know what, that's enough. I don't need to read anymore. I don't need to study anymore. And you know what, I don't need life points and I don't need these different areas because I already know. And you know what, we stop growing and we miss the joy of being a part of the vine. Just like the passage we read this morning in John chapter 15, we are a part of the vine. We abide in Him. And abiding in the vine creates a life relationship that continues to grow. Some of you have cleared vines. And you understand that you clear them and they keep coming back. And they keep coming back. And they keep coming back. And all they continue to grow as long as they're connected to the vine. And that's the way we should be with the Lord. Don't stop growing. Grows with a growth that is from God. All of this points to the fullness of who God is. There we will find the relational delight in His fullness. What robs you of the fullness of Jesus Christ? Most often it's ourselves. When we have to put our own checklist and we have to put our own ideas and we put our own knowledge before the Lord instead of saying, you know what, I'm going to be connected to the head. You know what happens when the head loses control of the body? It's hard to function. We know the effects of diseases like Parkinson's. That when the head can no longer and the brain can no longer control the functions and you see the shaking and where the muscles begin to work involuntarily. And it produces a struggle. And those that are going through that battle with Parkinson's, they know the struggle of not being able to control their own body. You know when that happens? When there's a disconnect to the head. And I'm afraid this plagues our churches as well when we have a disconnect to the head. Our body doesn't function properly. And all of a sudden we want our preference over here and we want our preference over there. And we want just a little bit of this and we want just a little bit of that. And all of a sudden we got all these different mixtures and all these different things happening. And then it's not fulfilling. There's no joy because there's no fullness in Jesus Christ. But if we relationally set ourselves in the delight, in the joy of seeing God for who He is, and realizing it is not the duty, it's the delight of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Because understand that it's Him on the cross that died for us that changes us. There we can have that fullness. If we, with Christ, you died to that elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Let us turn and look full into His face and to see how everything else is going to miss the mark. Hold fast to the head. Shall we stand? This morning, as we come to this time of invitation, it's very easy to be robbed. It's very easy to find ourselves in positions where things have taken us away from our relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know what? In this time, as we sing, and in this time that we think about these words, can I ask you just to ask yourself, what's robbing me from the fullness of Jesus Christ? Am I letting circumstances overtake who He is? I guarantee you He's bigger than your circumstances. Am I letting situations dictate who my God is to me, or I'm going to let His Word dictate who He is to me? Am I trying to check off all these things this morning, or am I trying to delight in Him? What is robbing us in that relationship with Jesus Christ? Because Paul wants us to know. Remember, this all stems back as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. For in Him the fullness of God dwells bodily, and in Him you are filled. What is robbing you of that this morning? Maybe today we need to lay that at the altar and sacrifice it before the Lord and say, Lord, this has been robbing me of my relationship with You. I haven't surrendered. I haven't connected to the head the way that I'm supposed to. And maybe this morning we just need to lay that at the altar. And in just a moment, we're going to pray and we're going to sing. But more importantly, we're going to respond. And if you need to lay something at the altar, I encourage you, come lay it at the altar before Him. Let's connect to that head and hold fast to that head of Jesus Christ, putting aside who we are so that He might be glorified. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would work in this time now as only You can. Help us, Lord, to see what You would have us to see. Help us, Lord, to connect to You. To be glorified through what You have done and not what we have done. And God, I pray that You would move in our hearts and our lives this morning. May we obey You and abide in You. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen.